Next we're on to Chiron. Is Chris here? There you are. Great. So I'll just give you a brief introduction. Chiron is a vertically integrated licensed producer, but based in Colombia. The company's intention is to supply the LATAM market, medical market, with production facilities in Colombia, Uruguay, and Chile, I believe. You've acquired medical clinics in Colombia, and you want to convert people there from opioids to medical cannabis. In addition, you have a line of CBD-infused products that you're marketing in Colombia, I believe. And you have this joint venture with a U.S. company, Dixie Brands. And I believe you want to bring Dixie Brands products into your markets, and they will bring your cosmetic products into the U.S. So that's a very interesting relationship. So I believe your market cap's about 350 million Canadian. I'm very pleased that we have Chris Naprawa, president of Chiron. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody. Good to see some familiar faces here today. Gordon, nice to see you in particular. You know, man, cannabis has grown up. Here we are in First Canadian Place with everyone with suits and ties on, and it's a different world than a couple of years ago, certainly. So what we'll tell you about, and we will not use up a lot of time, is what we've set out to do was become the dominant player in Latin America. And, you know, Latin America is a very, very big place. We're trying to serve the unmet needs of about 620 million people. A lot of the people that are in our region, or a lot of the players in our region, are very much focused on low-cost cultivation for export in some other markets. And while we enjoy the benefits of that low-cost cultivation, we're very much focused on selling medical products, consumer packaged good, wellness, into this very market. And the message that we're starting to convey now is, as we're starting to establish that base and that dominance in that market, is that we're ready to enter other markets from around the world. So don't be surprised, you know, extending on that Dixie Brands deal, that we'll be able to be in other places around the world soon enough. So the company snapshot, we've been around 2.5 years. We RTO'd last May. Since then, we've made 2 acquisitions. We've done 3 financings. We've entered 5 other countries, and we're continuing to grow. At that time, I think we were about 45 people or so. We're about 250 now. And, you know, when we set out to be that player, that dominant player, it doesn't, you know, measure it any way you want, by number of people, number of licenses, sales, revenues, you know, I think we've established that. What we don't talk about is grams and square feet and yields and tons, because that's just not our business. You know, I think Danone's the biggest dairy company in the world. They don't own any cows. You know, we're talking about selling consumer packaged goods and medicine into our markets. You know, the medical market in Latin America is very, very attractive from a bunch of standpoints. First of all, the size, but also the lack of competition right now. There's very, very few companies really focused exclusively on this market. Colombia went legal for medical in 2016. There's about 50 million people there, of which about 6 million people would have conditions that are, you know, quite targeted towards the use of cannabis. We've included those ones there. The shape of the pie chart from country to country changes. Chronic pain is always the biggest one. That's the one you want to get right. And I'll tell you about how we've started to approach that. You know, as far as the landscape goes in Latin America, and I call Latin America everything south of Texas, you know, probably the biggest news in cannabis last year that nobody talked about was Mexico. Mexico is 130 million people. You know, pick any product category that you want, cell phones or automotive or beverages or whatever, they're always kind of number 10, 12, 13 in every category. Cannabis is going to be absolutely no difference. There's absolutely no opposition to the legislation there. You're seeing some changes. There's going to be changes in the legislation as we move forward, as we have a new government in December. But that is a massive, massive market and really exciting. Just the tourist market alone, of American tourists visiting Mexico, might not make it to California, but it would be a top 5 state anyways as far as demand goes. And that, when we realized how fast Mexico was going towards adult use, that's when we did the Dixie Brands JV. We didn't have to waste 3 years trying to develop all these products. With that deal, we'll go into it. We've got 100 SKUs and 15 brands, products that people know and recognize and trust. At the end, we'll talk a little bit about Brazil. Brazil is still behind the game a little bit, but it's changing very, very quickly. Every time a new country comes on, it just seems to happen just a little bit faster. They can use the blueprint from Colombia and other places. And Colombia really is the blueprint for legislation. And that's why, you know, one of our first hires was Juan Diego Alvarez. He was the author of the legislation in Colombia. He's a sought-after regulatory expert throughout Latin America. We've been able to assemble an amazing team, and I won't go into everybody's name there, but, you know, Alvaro Torres, who's our CEO, can't be here with us today. You know, he's the son of two PhDs. He had a massive engineering company. He sold privately, built massive projects all over Latin America. And that understanding of social license and permitting and all that stuff, I think Brendan Kennedy put it really well, that we're all compliance companies that sell cannabis, and you just have to get that right. Most notably, we've been changing our board, you know, from a capital formation kind of board to an operating board. Last summer, we were proud to welcome Vicente Fox, 55th President of Mexico, onto our board. He's been absolutely outstanding. Everyone knows him as the president. Everyone knows about how he stood up to Bush during Gulf II. But he was also the president of Coca-Cola. He started at Coca-Cola when he was 18 years old and delivering bottles from door to door. Worked his way up to president. But when he took over as president of Coca-Cola, Pepsi was outselling 3-1 in Mexico. And when he left 6 or 7 years later, Coke was outselling 3-1. So when we talk about brand and line extensions and brand extensions, distribution, you know, this is a guy in a boardroom that absolutely takes control, and we're learning a lot from him. He's been great. More recently, Joe Mimram joins our sub-board. Everyone knows Joe as Joe Fresh, Club Monaco, Alfred Sung. So from a branding perspective, retail distribution, trap line of ideas and people, and he's been really incredible. So, you know, we continue to add on to the board and expect some more changes there going forward. I'm going to skip through just a couple things. Everybody wants to talk about cultivation. What I'll tell you is the prices right now, even in the secondary market from other LPs in Colombia, are shockingly low. We are buying from other cultivators right now to satisfy our own demand. What I'll say is that, you know, prices on a per gram basis are already sub 10 cents, and there's only been one harvest. We get 4 harvests a year, so we'll see what happens in a couple of years from now. Maybe they'll be paying us. But it's a very conducive place. There's a reason we don't grow, you know, coconuts and bananas in warehouses in Mississauga. It's the same for cannabis. This is the perfect equatorial climate to grow it, and costs are very, very low. We're not in the low-cost cultivation business, but we just enjoy the benefits of it. Let's skip over this one. So I'll just walk you through a couple of the places we're in. Right now we're in Chile. Chile, although one of the smaller countries, is an exciting country. It's got about 4 times the GDP per capita as Colombia. There's one licensed cultivator. There's a bunch of license holders. Daya is the only cultivator right now, and they're a compassionate care medical company. So we did a deal with them, which included a little bit of cash. We get the back door into that license. We're planting right now as we speak in Chile. But more importantly, we get access to their 17,000 patients, and we can do clinical studies with them. We can introduce new products to them. All that data is then fungible back into Colombia and other jurisdictions that we're in. So this is an exciting market to be in. We've got people there now in Santiago. It's a great, great place to do business. Food's great. Everything's great. The food's great pretty much everywhere I go, actually. So we're going to skip into in and out of each jurisdiction, but you know, we are about branded products. The Canapure brand we pick up through our Uruguay acquisition that is pending closing very, very shortly now. The Dixie brands, which we'll get into, and then Cuida, which we just launched in November. So Cuida, which means care in Spanish, this is the first. Like, if you're asking for a differentiator in South America, well, we're the only company with a product on the shelf anywhere that's for sale. So we launched this in November. We announced yesterday that we've added some more stores. We'll probably, by the end of June, what I'm guiding is that we'll probably be in about 400 stores in Colombia. We've got these SKUs now approved in Peru, so you can also expect them in Chile and other places very, very shortly. Through the Dixie JV, Dixie will be formulating and packaging and selling these things in the United States as well. The underlying technology, which we've had tested and verified, is a transdermal technology, which we've We branded CB Derm. CB Derm like is like Intel Inside or NutraSweet. You know, this is our transdermal technology for CBD. We make no secret. We didn't grow the CBD that's in this. We bought it in Switzerland, brought it in, and again, it really doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, we're selling a high margin consumer packaged good, a product that people absolutely love. A couple weeks ago, I was just in Italy, in Bologna, at a thing called Cosmoprof. It's a cosmetic show. There's 250,000 buyers there. 250,000. You know, to walk from the front door to our booth was a 45-minute walk. It's incredible. And this product went off like crazy, and people absolutely love it. There's all kinds of things we got to do to improve it. The packaging can be better. Other things can be better. But as far as an introduction, it's great. We did have some samples. All the one-on-one people, it all disappeared. So we'll get you some if you want to see it. The Dixie JV really is primarily about Mexico for adult use and us getting ready for adult use in Mexico. Whether we use that Dixie brand or not, or another brand, you know, we'll see. But there's 100 SKUs and 15 brands, another 100 formulations behind that. You know, they've been around for 9 years operating in Colorado. They've gone through the School of Hard Knocks. They've made all the mistakes. They've done all the things. So we're benefiting from that. And because they're a multi-state operator and a producer, and they're a very good one, all the SOPs, the packaging, the manuals, the operator manuals, all that's been done so that you can just go and plop this stuff in another place. And whether you're plopping it into Massachusetts or into Bogota, it's the same. So we're able to benefit from that. The Acceso brand actually matches up really, really nice with Quida. And we may rebrand that Quida for our own operations. It's set up as a JV here in Toronto. We license that, all the intellectual property up here to Canada. And then give that down into our market, which is everything south of the Texas border. The Therabis line is a pet line. While everybody's thinking about square feet and grams, we'll be launching pet food. Bogota is a pet crazy place. Mexico is a pet crazy place. People are people everywhere you go. People kind of like their pets a lot more than a lot of their family members. They'll spend more on it. And CBD is the cat's kind of out of the bag on that one. It's an exciting market. So then it's about how do we get to customers? So we talked a little bit about the consumer branded strategy. The person that runs Quida for us, Elsa Navarro, she's a 17-year cosmetics professional. You know, to give you an idea, we have way more people in marketing than we do in cultivation, for instance. So she's running with that brand, garnering distribution deals. Our distributor is a company called AXA, AXA. They, you know, it's an American company. They carry 17,000 SKUs. You know, we're asset light in that part of the business. We don't own the manufacturing or anything like that, the packaging. We outsource all that business, and we're trying to be pretty nimble. On the medical side, which we'll get into now, the model of getting closer to patients, educating doctors, educating physicians organizations, I think that's a model that was really missed here in Canada. You know, from 2001, 2011, you know, now I think I saw the stat, 340,000 prescriptions now, but it was like 340 for 10 years. Nothing was happening. Nobody was getting on board. So we really focused in on educating doctors and getting them on board and using a clinic model. So doctors won't prescribe what their associates don't endorse. So we've spent 2.5 years now. We've got every major medical association, not only in Colombia, but now we're starting in Mexico. We've got them in Peru. We've got them in Chile. And we work very, very hard. We have a full-time staff. We've got 65 licensed physicians on our staff now. We have a handful of those that are focused entirely on doctor education, and that's all we do. We just held Mexico's first medical conference a few weeks ago in Mexico City. Very, very targeted to high-prescribing doctors who prescribe primarily opiates. And we're going after them to get them onto the medical bandwagon for cannabis. So that model has worked. That number's wrong. We're probably 4,000 doctors now in the network, and we're continuing to do that. That's a real core differentiator with us in getting that education. And we've done it so well in Colombia, for instance. You know, doctors refer to it as prescribing Chiron, you know, rather than prescribing cannabis. We've got that kind of brand recognition. That's a lead we respect, and we will try to keep it. So iLands is a company we bought. This is our first acquisition as a company. We bought this last November. We did about 3 months of diligence on it. This is two clinics in Colombia. It was 100,000 patients at the time. It's 119,000 now. These are neuropathic patients. They're absolutely perfect for cannabis, so chronic pain, sleep disorders, Parkinson's, epilepsy, et cetera. They're absolutely perfect. And where these clinics are in Bogota, in Zona Rosa, where our office is, this is the... a very high income part of Colombia, and in Bogota in particular. This office is a block and a half from the Four Seasons, the Range Rover dealership. This is in a neighborhood where people have the capacity to pay, because we're outside the insurance regime right now. So here's the math. We mentioned that we're about a 350 million market cap company today. If we can take these 100,000 patients and convert about 30,000 of them in whole or in part to cannabis, that will equate to about 50 million in revenue and 30 million in EBITDA. So that kind of supports our valuation. That's where the company gets their next payout. The payout after that comes from getting us included in the insurance regime. So the same education program we're using with doctors and doctors associations, we're also turning on to the insurance companies, because at the clinics, our client is not the patient. Our client is the insurance company. And when we tell them that we have a lower cost solution that has better efficacy, and by the way, you don't have to change your rates just because you're making more money, they really like that. Mexico, we've talked about, I think, and it's a really exciting district. It's changing a lot. We're holding a conference there on the 25th and 26th in conjunction with President Fox at Central Fox, the presidential library. We're expecting about 2,000 people. Last year was about 1,100. It's an exciting time to go down and learn about the legislation, learn about the opportunity in Mexico, and a lot of partners, including BMO, is a sponsor of that. Thank you very much for that, guys. And that's on the back of our first medical conference there. So there's always going to be changes in these markets, but the work has to start now, and we've had our head down in Mexico for quite a while. We hired a country manager. He's an ex-Pfizer executive, building a team around him for that, and that's really exciting. Whoops. I just want to leave you with Brazil just for a moment. Brazil is probably the largest medical market in the world. Things are going to move slowly there. It's going to take a couple of years, but it's going to take us a couple of years to build up the business and build up the brand recognition. There's 240 million people there, and it's really, really tough for people to get their medicine today. We think we've solved part of that. Our Uruguay acquisition gives us a presence in Sao Paulo. We're going to double down on the Sao Paulo presence. That's another city of 30 million people. That market alone, if we do that right, it's going to be really, really exciting for us. So we're going to work very, very hard on Brazil. So I just tell you, no one's talking about this, but Brazil's an exciting market that people need to pay attention to. So we've been able to do this and keep the share count under 100 million. We're still well over 30% insider owned. We're in a great cash position. BMO co-led our last financing in February at $2.20. So our burn rate's very, very low. Everyone asks. I'd say it's less than $1 million a month at the current rate. Look for us to do more tuck-in type acquisitions. The first two were $7 million and $13 million respectively. We're a bit different market cap situation now, so we can do things with a slightly different snack bracket. But again, we want to maintain that insider ownership. So we're looking to buy private companies that bring us people and products and jurisdictions that we don't have today. And that's it.
Okay. I'm just going to come up. Why don't you have a seat with me here? I've got a mic for you. So there's a lot going on there. So on the... in Colombia, where exactly are you in terms of the medical cannabis market? Like, how do you sell into the channel now? Do the regulations still need to unfold? Is it like Canada or is it different?
So they legalized for medical in 2016. The first prescriptions are just about to go out. Right now, it's unlike Canada. There's no national registration, so mm-hmm. It's just a prescription from a doctor. It's more like the German market in that way. Before you can put out pharma-style products, you can put out what are called magistral formulations. Here we would call that a pharmacy compound. Doctor scratches out a script, it goes to the laboratory, lab mixes it up, mm-hmm. and then ships it out to the patient. So that sounds all really simple, but there's a whole bunch of infrastructure that's required. You can't just be shipping one bottle at a time from Bogota to mm-hmm. all over the place. So you'll see from us a bunch of distribution deals and points of presence to be able to do that. That is ready to go today, and we can offer that. The good news is that we have a clinic with our own 119,000 patients already. You can imagine that's where we're focusing. Those doctors have been trained and are continuing to be trained on how to prescribe this stuff. We're focusing in on a couple of conditions to
start that we think are, you know, lower risk and easier for doctors to get their heads around. So it's a very, very favorable federally regulated regime. If you look at the legislation itself, you know, at its core and its essence, it's a matter of public health. So the government is not there to stand in your way. The government is there to facilitate and make sure this happens. So availability of product, knocking down barriers already, as far as the types of products that we're able to sell, that's expanding in Colombia, and it is the blueprint for the rest of South America. It's really looked upon as an excellent piece of legislation. Even Mexico took a good hard look at it, Peru and Chile as well. So it's advancing really, really, really nicely.
Okay, and there was one number that you threw out there that really floored me. Did you say 10 cents a gram?
Is that one of my outlandish claims? Yeah, no, these are the kind of numbers that we're starting to see there. It's crazy.
So this is farmers growing cannabis.
These are licensed producers growing cannabis.
And they're selling their cannabis?
Well, listen, somebody's got it in their slide deck that they can grow it for 5 cents. So here, take 10. That's good margin for you then.
Okay. And is it outdoor grow or?
Yeah, for CBD, it's all outdoor.
Right.
Yeah. So we have got an indoor grow, which is primarily THC. But for CBD, you can grow that outdoors and you can grow it really, really cheap. You know, think about, you know, Colombia leads the world in cut flower cultivation, for instance. So, you know, we're in New York last week, you know, walk into any bodega and you can buy a dozen roses for $13.99, you know, and that came straight from Colombia. You should be able to grow cannabis at a profit.
Right. Okay. So what's the opportunity before licensed producers in Colombia can start exporting out of the country, say into Canada, you know, which would be very disruptive, or into the EU? You would need GMP for your facilities. Where is your company at, and the industry as a whole in terms of getting out of Colombia?
Well, you tell me. We've got an export license. Other people have an export license. You can export out of Colombia. You can export oils. You can export flour. The entire economy is an agricultural export economy. It's all the infrastructure is there, the port infrastructure, everything is there, but you know, you can't play catch by yourself. Like, who are you exporting to?
Right.
You can't export here, you can't export the United States. Germany's pretty crowded and complicated. I don't know where it's going to go exactly. We're not turning our back on that market. We would embrace that market should, you know, it prove itself to be a profitable venture. But I think you're going to see massive price compression before the first gram is shipped out of Colombia.
Okay. And is there a rec opportunity in Latin America?
Yes, is the answer. You know, Latin America is a big place.
Yes.
You know, Colombians, I don't think there's any chance anytime soon. Chile is already decriminalized. Chileans, you know, 52% of adults enjoy cannabis from time to time. They love it out there. It's more like a California market. You know, Peru, not so much. Mexico, not so much. Mexico's, you know, but the tourist market in Mexico is a massive opportunity. But, you know, I think, you know, we all travel all over the world and it's a global phenomenon now. I think everybody knows that it's pretty hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube and, you know, it's going to happen everywhere.
Right. And lastly, the CBD cosmetics line that you have, is there a regulatory framework that it's sold in Colombia, or is just CBD cosmetics doesn't fall under the regulatory umbrella? It's just another CPG product.
No, it's fully regulated in VIMA, which is the equivalent of Health Canada. It's a level 4 World Health Ministry, the same as Health Canada. There's a whole approval process. You submit it for testing. You have to submit your formulations before you can get products approved. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't selling hemp-based products at flea markets and stuff like that, but if you want a federally approved product, there's a rigorous procedure to do that. You know, for cannabis in particular, with the health organization, there's kind of three things. There's topicals, supplements, and food. Topicals being the easier one to get through, so that's why we started with topicals. We're working on supplements. Food will be a bit harder.
Okay. Oh, and the last thing I want to ask you, how did you ever find Dixie? How did that come about?
I'm a customer. I love it. It's, you know, they've got great products, great brands, great formats. Colorado, as you know, is a pretty rigorous regulatory regime as far as, like, if it says 5 milligrams, it is 5 milligrams. And, you know, one of our advisors also brought it to us and said, listen, let's just do this deal.
So, okay, interesting. Chris, we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.